You realize you're going to be singing that song all day now, right? And every time you do, I want you to think about Covell Community Church. I mowed my yard yesterday, and I was like, God, get it out of my head. It was every stripe was, you've lost that love. I couldn't even stop. All right, so here's my question. There's a question. There's a reason why we're talking about this and why the Righteous Brothers are up there. The question is, what if we replace the word feeling with the word filling? Now, I'm assuming the Righteous Brothers would not appreciate it too much. As a matter of fact, we might have some infringement rights if we chose to change this song. But I think it's important that we look at what would happen if we did change that word, especially today. Let me ask you, is there an emptiness or a loneliness that is being experienced by any of us today? Do you feel empty? Do you feel lonely? And if so, why? Classical guitarist Christopher Parkening had everything a man could ever want by the age of 30. But as he put it, I still felt empty inside. Dr. Kenneth Cooper, founder and pioneer of the aerobics fitness phenomenon, claimed that in his life, quote, something was missing. Former professional tennis player Mary Jo Fernandez admitted to a time of emptiness in her life, a time in which she endured a period of soul-searching and looking for answers. Regarding this emptiness, Mother Teresa once said, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see. I listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me. All of these different people who lived in different eras, came from different cultures and succumbed to different circumstances, had two very important things in common. They had faith in their holy God, and somehow, in some way, and at some time, they lost the loving filling of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, have you or are you feeling this kind of extreme emptiness or loneliness in your life? And if so, where do you go? And what do you do when you're feeling low and your faith is running that low? Let me give you an example. Returning from her ministrations and her ministry at a nursing home, the nun ran out of gas. A passing motorist stopped and asked if he could help the innocent nun. I'm out of gas, the nun told him. Motorist said, well, I've got gas for you, but I haven't gotten anything to siphon it into. So the nun went to the rear of her car and opened the trunk and then removed a bedpan from it, closed the trunk, and handed the bedpan to the kind man. He filled it, siphoning gas from his own gas tank. The motorist left after handing the bedpan, now full of gas, to the nun. The sister walked to the rear of her car. She unscrewed the lid to her gas tank and ever so carefully began to pour the gas into her car. While she was slowly and carefully pouring, another motorist passed by, observed what she was doing, turned to his companion in the passenger seat and said, wow, now that's faith. Folks, if we have lost that loving filling of the Holy Spirit, we are likely wondering where and when we lost it. And subsequently, we're kind of wandering around aimlessly in this life because we lost it. Now, we did these little trips that were called PK trips, pre-kid trips. We used to do them all the time, and they're different now. Never involved water parks before. And so we would go, and on one particular occasion, we went up to Chicago. It was a day trip, and we went up to Chicago, and we were messing around. And I've never been to Chicago where I haven't gotten lost. I do it every time. And on this particular occasion, I was driving, and we got lost. And coincidentally, I was running out of gas. And so it just so happened that I had to pull into a filling station in the worst part of Chicago. I would never want to go back there. And I was filled with fear, thinking that not only did I have to get a fill-up, but I also had to get instructions and information on where I needed to end up to get out of this terrible neighborhood. The reason I bring this up, folks, is for this reason. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in adverse circumstances in very bad places when we get lost and we need a quote-unquote fill-up. Now, many people have said, I've been to that bad place. I know what you're talking about. We wander and we wonder and we struggle due to this lost feeling and this emptiness. In fact, listen to this. Numbers 14, 20 through 39, we know the story. We find the Israelites being sentenced to 40 years of wilderness wandering because they rejected God. In Genesis 4, 12, we find Cain, after killing his brother Abel, receiving his sentence for his sin, a sentence that included being a fugitive and a tramp, and being forced to, quote-unquote, wander. In Isaiah 59, 9 through 11, the prophet Isaiah exposes Israel's sins and identifies those transgressions as a reason that they are wandering aimlessly in gloom and darkness. Says the prophet Isaiah, you look for God to keep you, but he has turned away. And lastly, there was a demon-possessed man who lived in the country of the Gadarenes, and he wandered about a graveyard. Mark 5:5 tells us this, screaming and cutting himself daily. Ironically, he was filled with a multitude of demons, but paradoxically, that man was empty inside. Do you, or someone you know, feel this kind of emptiness? Have you or your friend or your family member, your coworker, your neighbor, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your son or daughter, have you been filled at one time and indwelt at that time only to feel like you or they have lost that loving feeling of the Holy Spirit's filling? Folks, this loving feeling that we look for starts with a loving God, and this is exactly where we have to start today. In fact, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, John says this. He says, love comes from God, for God is love. And if we talk about this, if we want to go any further, we better understand this. If we're going to go further, we better understand our loving Father. Because our Heavenly Father shows us a love that we cannot even imagine. And every time we experience this kind of emptiness and this loneliness, and if you haven't been there, you'll be there. And the question is, when you're there, where will you go? How will you get out of there? And I hope that at the very first, you will say, because at the very least, we have to say, God is love. It starts with God. We have got to love Him because He loves us. And once we realize how important this relationship is to Him, then we can understand where to go once we experience that emptiness, when we feel like that we have lost Him. And make no mistake about it, we have never, ever lost Him. This starts with a loving God. He commands us to love Him back. In fact, in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus says that we must love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We must do this. That is the first and most important commandment. The second most important is this. We better love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. It starts with God. And Jesus knew how important this was. And that's why He stressed it. And that's why He gave us what He would deem the most important commandment. And that most important commandment allows us to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. When we love God and His Son, something amazing happens. We become indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And if you say, what does indwelt mean? I don't get it. Indwelt. Basically, He replaces our emptiness with His presence. When we say, Jesus Christ, I love you, I believe in you, and I want to live my life for you, something amazing happens. Jesus comes in and He makes His residence within us. We now have Jesus living inside of us. And let me tell you, if you've experienced, if you've given your life to Christ, if you have been baptized, if you will say, if you think back to it, you will say, you're right. I realized how much my life changed when God came in and made that change. When He established His residence, and when He established His presence, everything changed. It's an amazing thing. You know, Jesus introduces this concept in John 14, 15 through 17, where He says, if you love me and you obey me, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, capital C. That's an important thing. And He will never leave you. That comforter, capital C, is the Holy Spirit, and He will never leave you. Folks, let me stress this. There is permanency in this residency. And what that means is that when the Holy Spirit indwells us, He never leaves us, and He will always love us. Now, that's important because today we're talking about losing that loving filling. And it seems contradictory and it almost seems paradoxical that we're talking about losing something that's so personal and so at home within us. And we'll get there. Paul said in Romans 8:23 that Christians have the Holy Spirit living within them. I want to ask you something. When do you feel the most emptiness? When do you feel the most loneliness? You see, I think I know what it is. I think there's probably a lot of issues, a lot of examples of this. But let me give you one. You see, I think we feel the most emptiness and I think we feel the most loneliness when we lose a loved one. I think we experience it when we experience death. And for every single person out here that's lost a loved one, I am guessing if you had one chance to call your dad or your mom or your son or your daughter or your grandmother or your grandfather just one more time, tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you miss them. Tell them how important they were to you and how much you care about them. I'm guessing you'd take that chance. I'm guessing you would want that opportunity, and I'm guessing you would hope for it, and you would love it. Death is tough. In so many cases, we have to go through emptiness and loneliness on that grief journey. What about losing a spouse? What about separation, divorce, a breakup? What about when your kids move away from home or your kid goes to work at Janet's Cakes every day? I'm dealing with it. The other day I stalked her. I parked in front of Baskin Robbins. It's true. Pulled out, I was like, I'm just here to say hi. It was really creepy. It was. I'm dealing with it. It's tough. It's tough when we watch our loved ones move on. Loneliness and emptiness is a very difficult thing. But here's what's interesting. You see, when we feel loneliness and emptiness, God reminds us, he says, but wait a second. I'm living in you. I love you. I'm never going to leave you. And while we might feel emptiness and loneliness, we're reminded that inside of us is the Holy Spirit living within us, that inside of us we have Jesus. Romans 8:23, Christians have the Holy Spirit living within them. Think about that for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, Paul goes on, he says, once again, he confirms this indwelling of the Holy Spirit in those who are believing in and loving God and his Son. Peter addressed the thousands of onlookers on the day of Pentecost who came to Jerusalem. And he told them after a rousing and soul-searching sermon in Acts 2:38, he says, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God. If we condense all those words into one word, it means repent. He says, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you shall also receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. And this begins that indwelling. John 14:16, he will never, Jesus says, he'll never leave you. When the indwelling happens, God the Father and Jesus our Savior and the Holy Spirit our Comforter, according to Jesus' words in John 14:23, they come and live with us together. Now I'm going to create a weird scenario. This is really weird, especially when Jill earlier said you should dress like Jesus. So here we go. She's going to see just how important this is. I'm going to create a scenario. It's going to be weird, but follow along. If you live alone at home, if you've just recently gone through a breakup, divorce, separation, if you've just recently lost a loved one and you're missing that person, and you're feeling this incredible loneliness and emptiness, you get a knock on the door. And you're thinking, who in the world could that be? No one cares about me. No one loves me. And you go to the door and you answer the door, and Jesus is standing at the door. Can you imagine for a moment, because you know him, you'd recognize him. You'd get it. And he'd say, listen, I don't mean to bug you. I know you love me. I know you believe in me, and I know that you know me, but here's the thing. I want to live with you. And you'd say, Jesus, you want to live with me? Yeah, I want to live with you. You won't even see me. I'll be the quietest house guest you've ever had. But I promise you this. I will watch over you. I'll protect you. I'll love you. And oh, by the way, I didn't mention this. If you don't mind, I'm going to have my Father come and live with you too. And oh, by the way, if you don't mind, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit live with you too. You'll never see us. We'll never be in your way. But we'll always be there to protect you, love you, care about you. You'll have no needs for anything because we're going to take care of everything. Now, for a moment, can you imagine? What would you say? Because I'm guessing everybody would say, yeah, okay. Get rid of your alarm system, right? Wouldn't need that anymore. That's right. They'd take care of everything. Now, here's the situation, because today that offer is being made. It's being made. See, they say, I want to come live with you. I want to be at home with you. I'm going to be with you. You'll never have to worry. There's no anxiety because I'm going to take care of you. That's because we love you. Now, I'm guessing most of us would say, okay, yeah, live with us, be with us, love us. Today we have that opportunity. I want to look at our sermon text, which comes from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. There's some hidden things in here. It's a powerful passage, but I'm going to accentuate them as we go. Here we go. Paul says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of his plan, I fall down on my knees and I pray to the Father of all the great family of God, some of them already in heaven, some down here on earth, that out of his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you, here it comes, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of his Holy Spirit. And I pray, here it comes, here's your another one, this is the second one, that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. And may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and experience this love for yourselves, though it's so great that you'll never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. So at last, you will be, third part, you will be filled up with God himself. Paul says, now glory be to God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes, may he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. By the way, this master plan of salvation given to us by Jesus Christ, this master plan of salvation allows us to experience God the Father, Jesus our Savior, Holy Spirit the Comforter, living within us. That plan of salvation assures this. So, as a believer and a lover, an obedient follower of Jesus, you have found, you have discovered love, forgiveness, companionship, righteousness, and peace. Folks, I can tell you this today, when you believe in Jesus, you have found that loving feeling. You didn't lose it, you found it. In this passage that we just read, we see that God's love, verse 17 through 19, came from God's plan of salvation through his Son, verse 21, that through them and because of them, we are indwelt and we are filled by the Holy Spirit. Even though we are believers, now this is where it gets difficult, folks. Even though we are believers, lovers, and obedient followers of Jesus, we can sometimes, unbeknownst to us, lose that loving filling of the Holy Spirit, which subsequently can spiral us into a place of dread, depression, chaos, and emptiness. Have you been there? I've been there. Are you there? Have you been in a place where you say, I don't want to be lonely anymore. I don't want to feel empty anymore. Are you there? King Saul was there. He was there. 1 Samuel 10:10 tells us that at one time Saul was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. But Saul's disobedience to God on two separate accounts caused God's Spirit to depart. Read about it in 1 Samuel 16:14 through 23. A tormenting spirit fell upon an empty Saul, and he was filled with depression, anxiety, and fear. Saul's empty life began to unravel. Madness, terror ensued. Saul lost that loving filling. David did too. In fact, David was hurting. David, as we oftentimes go back to, David committed some grievous sins, sins we can't even imagine. But he was convicted of those sins. And now he goes before God to talk about those sins. In fact, after those sins, he prayed and he said to God in Psalm 51:11, he says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Listen to those words. You see, David understood it because David was the guy that saw the Spirit depart Saul. David was a guy that was called upon to play the harp and give music to a hurting, empty Saul. David knew what a man would look like if he lost the Holy Spirit and lost it all. That's what he knew. And David said, don't take your Spirit from me, because he knew how bad it would be if the Spirit was taken from him. If you have walked the streets of loneliness and emptiness, at one point, at some point in your life, you've said, I've lost that loving feeling. It's gone. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm guessing that you felt it. And I'm guessing maybe today you might be reminded of it. You see, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is much different than the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. They're the same people with different roles. I'm going to explain this. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and he would go and he would fill at God's will and he would strengthen and he would encourage and he would empower and they'd leave. That happened. God would determine where he would go next. He was like the wind. And these judges, if you read the book of Judges, which is a good book, you'll see that these men were strengthened and encouraged and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But then the Spirit would go and he'd come back and he'd go and he'd come back. Now the New Testament Holy Spirit is a little bit different. Because the New Testament Holy Spirit does this. He comes in and he makes his home within us. He indwells us. He never leaves us, listen to this, until we grieve him. And when we grieve him and when we sin against him, he then doesn't fill us. Now you say, wait a second. Is there a difference between indwelling and filling? I mean, is there really a difference between indwelling and filling? Let me tell you the difference between indwelling and filling. I'll give you a good example. Can you imagine a married couple, 40 years married, struggling? Marriage is on the rocks. They live together. They are indwelt together. They come home every night and see each other. But they call a counselor because they know they're in trouble. Counselor comes out and says, I want to talk to the wife first. Counselor comes up to the wife and says, what's going on? Tell me about your husband. You know what she would say? She says, well, he lives here, but there's no love here. Now, the difference between that example and the Holy Spirit's example is this.
The Holy Spirit lives here and will always love here. But the problem is, while the Holy Spirit indwells us, when we sin against Him, He doesn't have to fill us. In fact, this is when we experience emptiness. And so many people in today's lives are walking around, they say, I don't get it. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I live for Jesus. But something is happening. I feel this incredible emptiness. And my first thing I would say, folks, is this. Go before God and see if there is a lack of filling by the Holy Spirit within any of us. And if that's the case, we would then know. Sins grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, as believers, indwells and will always love us, but our grieving Him by sin, it drains that filling and it empties us. Let me give an example, because I think this is important. Folks, the only person that can grieve is a person that has feelings or emotions. You see, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, if we hurt the Holy Spirit, you know what that means? That means, number one, He's real. And number two, it means He feels. And so when we sin against the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what happens. We hurt the Holy Spirit. You don't think your sin matters? Let me tell you something. Your sin matters. Parents, you know when your kids do wrong and you've got to punish those kids, it's not easy. In many cases, my wife and I'd say after it's all done, we feel empty because our kids have hurt us and we felt like we've had to hurt them in disciplining them. Let me tell you something, folks. When we sin against God, we hurt God. And when we sin against the Spirit and grieve the Spirit, we become distanced from the Spirit. He lives in us. He loves us. We're just not as close to Him because of the sins committed by us. There's a difference between indwelling and filling. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So how do we quench and we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? And the answer is when we sin against God. If we turn the page and go to Ephesians 4:30 and 31, we'll jump down to chapter 5 for a couple verses there as well. Listen to what Paul says. Verse 30 says, don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Now Paul says, here are some sins that will grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in our lives. Moving down to verse 3, chapter 5. Listen to these grievous sins that hurt the Holy Spirit in God. Let there be no sex sin, impurity, or greed among you. Let no one be able to accuse you of any such things. Dirty stories, foul talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful. And you can be sure of this. He says, the kingdom of Christ and God will never belong to anyone who is impure or greedy. And then we go to verses 17 and 18. Paul says, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out. And do whatever the Lord wants you to. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Listen to this. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Paul understood it. Paul knew it. If we're going to live this life the way God wants us to live this life, we're going to have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. There is a tremendous difference between filling and sinning. Our sinning is responsible for our lost Holy Spirit filling. Let me make sure we understand this, folks. When we sin against God and we sin against the Spirit, He still loves us. He still lives in us. But because of our sin, He just becomes distant from us. Let me give you another example of this. Husbands and wives, I hope you've never had to experience it. Maybe you have. You've been happily married for years. You love each other. You're crazy about each other. But you have an argument. Now, you still live together and you still love each other, but on that one particular night, the wife says, husband, you're sleeping on the sofa. Keep in mind, you still love each other, you still live together, but you're far apart from each other. This is how it happens with the Holy Spirit. He loves us, He lives within us, but He says there's distance between us. We've got to bridge the distance. This is what's called confession of sin. Are we willing to do it? Dr. James Gray says this. He says the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. He says the filling of the Spirit is the ministry of the Spirit by which He actually empowers the believer to live a Christ-like life and at particular times to accomplish special service. This ministry may be interrupted by sin in the believer's life. For this reason, Gray says, the filling of the Spirit needs to be repeated. Father, I've sinned against You. Father, I want to be filled by You. That's what we do. And I do it daily. Pastor Tony Evans says this. He says, all a person has to do to lose their filling is to live life. Life has its way of draining out the reality of the Holy Spirit in you. Evans says, Christians must continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I've sinned against you. Father, I want to be filled by you. G.H.C. McGregor says, but while all believers have the Spirit, not all believers are filled with the Spirit. And not all believers are endued with power from on high. The lives of very many are not full, much less overflowing. What about us? Are we full or are we empty? Based on the Holy Spirit's filling, would you say today, would you say, you know what, God, I might be overflowing, but I don't know. If emptiness is caused by sin and disobedience, then spiritual fullness can only be experienced when we offer God confession and repentance. The psalmist, regarding his own prayer, said in Psalm 66, 18, he says, he would not have listened if I had not confessed my sins. Folks, we do this a lot. We're going to do it again. Talk about David a lot. David committed some grievous sins. He arranged for a murder. He committed adultery. And he created a cover-up. And that man felt bad. And in Psalm 51, we see just how bad he felt. And in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, 10 through 11, 15 through 7, or 16 and 17, we're going to see this. Here's what David says after Nathan the prophet condemns him and convicts him. Here's what David says regarding these sins. He says, O loving and kind God, have mercy. Have pity upon me and take away the awful stain of my transgressions. Wash me, cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again. For I admit my shameful deed. It haunts me day and night. It is against you and you alone I sinned, and I did this terrible thing. You saw it all, and your sentence against me is just. 10 and 11. Create in me a new clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Don't toss me aside, banished forever from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You don't want penance, David says, verse 16. If you did, how gladly I would do it. You aren't interested in offerings burned before you on the altar. It is a broken spirit you want, remorse and penitence. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not ignore. Where do we go when we're running low? Right back to our loving God who lovingly fills us with His Holy Spirit through our continual faith in Jesus. Now, while this vicious cycle of sinning and filling and sinning and filling will not stop because we all sin, I wish I could tell you it will stop. It won't stop. I wish I could tell you it would. It won't. Paul says that those who belong to Christ will, by way of the power of the life-giving Spirit, we will be freed, Romans 8:2, from the vicious cycle of sin and death. And what that means is this. You'll continue to sin, but you won't have to continue in the same sin over and over and over again. Your addictions will be gone. Your afflictions will be gone. These things that trip you up will be gone because you will know that God can take those things away from you. That's what He promises us who love His Son Jesus. I don't want these things anymore. I don't want to be part of these things anymore. I want to leave them behind. We can be freed from this. In essence, we as believers realize that we have a place to go, God's throne, when we have felt the emptying of the Spirit's fullness and this continued feeling of being down and empty and alone. Now, let me tell you this. If I'm preaching to a group of 1,000 unbelievers, let me tell you what this sermon would sound like. Blah, 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 blah. Or if you watch Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. That's what it would sound like. Let me tell you why. Because unbelievers don't understand the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you're an unbeliever, you'd be sitting here saying, this guy's nuts. He's lost it. He's saying that these three guys are coming in and live inside of me. Are you kidding me? But when you're a believer, you say, I got it. I understand it. I love it. I welcome it. You know, Jesus talks about this in John 14, 17. Jesus says this regarding that unbelieving spirit. He says, He is the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying this to His believers. He says, He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. The world, when Jesus says the world, it means the unbelieving world. He says, the world at large cannot receive Him, for it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you do. For He lives with you now, and someday He shall be in you. Believers, you get it. And let me tell you why you get it. Because regarding the Holy Spirit, believers, you got it. He lives in you. He dwells in you. He fills you because He loves you, and that's why you get it. And that's why these words today should comfort you. And that is why it's so incumbent upon us to reach out to those who are steeped in emptiness and introduce them to Jesus because they need Him. They need him. Where do you go to get filled? Where do we go? Today, more than ever, we have to see that God has a plan for us. Dr. George Johnson once said this. He said, spirit is the divine life, what blood is to physical human life. Essential for activity, thought, personal relationships. It is a continuously vitalizing and energizing force. Believers would admit that we do not want our lives marked by a constant flow of sinning and emptying. This is exhausting and it's tiring. And so many people say, I just want to be free of it. I want to be done with it. Let me give you an example. A motorist got stuck in a huge mud hole out in the country. A farmer was there with his tractor and he pulled him out for $50. Motorist said, at these prices, I would think you'd be pulling people out day and night. Farmer says, I can't. At night, I fill the mud hole with water. Think about that. That is filling for all the wrong reasons. So what is the reason that God, for those who believe in and love and live for his son Jesus, what is the reason God fills us? There's a reason. If you say, that's weird. I don't know why he would fill me. Let me tell you why he fills you. Because he doesn't want you to be empty. He wants you to produce something, to be something, and do something, and love someone in the process. It is so we as believers will be better equipped to love God and others, and break the sin cycle, and better navigate life while all the while bringing others to Jesus Christ. This is done through his loving filling of the Spirit in us, which ultimately allows us get ready to produce fruit that enhances our lives and the lives of others while showing others Jesus. And let me tell you, folks, this fruit is shown in a loving, filled, Spirit-indwelt heart. You see it in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you say, wait a second, tell me about this fruit. Now, my daughter Jillian, back on the board, my daughter Jillian loves fruit. My daughter Jada hates fruit. The thought of her being filled with fruit would make her sick. The thought of Jillian being filled with fruit says, yes, give me more strawberries and pineapple. But I'm not talking about that kind of fruit. You see, as believers, God wants us to be filled with his spiritual fruit. And this is how we know when we're filled. When we are producing Galatians 5, 22 and 23, when we're producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits. And when you're full of them, you can't help but share them. And people will know it. And they'll be changed by it. And they'll say, I don't get it. You're not like you used to be. Something's changed. You're not empty. That's the fruit. People will feel your love. They will see your joy. They will experience your patience. They will understand what it means to show that kind of kindness. That's the fruit. And you'll know you're full of it. Dr. Richard Carlson once said, I don't know anyone who doesn't want a life filled with his love, end quote. God is the giver of this loving filling. As believing, baptized Christians with regards to the Holy Spirit, we can run low, we can run down, but we will never, ever run out. Thanks be to God. He loves us, he lives within us, and he will never leave us. If we are in need of a loving filling, let us come to God today and confess our sins, repent of them, and then trust him to restore us to that place of fullness. Lost and wandering and empty is not a place that any of us want to be. Rather, let us be filled up with God himself, verse 19. Inwardly strengthened by the Holy Spirit, verse 16. With Christ making his home in our hearts, verse 17. So we can love him and others the way he has lovingly filled us to love him. If you feel like you've lost that loving feeling, let's ask him today, believers and unbelievers alike, to bless us with his indwelling and his living and his loving. God doesn't want us to feel alone. He doesn't want us to be alone. And no one likes being lost. Today, let us go toward God. Let us be found by God. And let us be filled by the Spirit of God. Today, I want every single person here to leave Covell Community Church and say, today, I found that loving feeling. We're going to go before the Lord with our pastoral prayer. This is your time, folks, to bring your needs to the altar if you say, you know what? I feel empty, and I feel lonely, and I just don't feel like I should. Today is your day to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. If you're a believer and you say, I don't know why I feel empty, perhaps it's because we as a group, we would look at ourselves and say we've sinned against God. We've left God. We forgot about God, but God has never forgotten us. So come to the altar today. Bring your needs, bring your concerns, and bring your issues, and bring your love, and give it to God because he loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to not feel this emptiness anymore. I pray that you would help us to not feel this loneliness anymore. Help us to be reminded today that when we believe in your Son Jesus, that you choose to live in us and love us, and you promise to never leave us. I pray today that that would create in us an incredible amount of confidence. I pray that our faith would be strengthened. I pray today that you would help us to see just how powerful this filling and indwelling is. Father, we sin against you, and so today as we bow our heads before you, we confess our sins to you and we say we're sorry. We've made mistakes, we've done wrong, we've hurt you. And we pray today that you will forgive us. I pray today that as believers in this church and followers of your Son Jesus Christ, I pray today that we will long no longer to commit those same sins over and over again, that you through the power of the Holy Spirit will help us to break this cycle of sin and that you will give us a new life. And I ask it according to your will. I pray today that you would help us to see that you've got plans for us and includes being fruitful and to be powerful and impactful in all that we do. And I pray that you'll help us to see these plans and that we would trust in these plans that you have made for us. Father, I pray that you would help us to grow closer to you each day and to rely upon this togetherness that we have when you live in us. There are many people that are not well today. I pray that you'll be with each and every one of them. I thank you for their strong ministry. They may not think they're making a difference in their suffering, but they are. They are. And I pray today that you'll encourage them even further. I pray that you will empower them to continue on in this journey, knowing that you have got a plan for them. And I pray today that we will trust in it, even in our loneliest and emptiest moments. I pray today that you will be with Jonathan and Kelsey. I pray that you'll help them. This baby is coming, and I pray that you'll watch over them. I pray for the safety of that child and that great couple. And I pray for healing and help for all those that are on our bulletin, every single name, because they're all important to us. Some we don't even know, but we do know them because our congregants know them. And I pray today that you'll bless us and help us in everything that we do. Pray that you'll bless and help our missionaries. They need your help. Help us to continue to pray for them daily. Help us to give of ourselves, our time, our monies, our love, our sacrifice to them so that they can accomplish your goal and purpose. And Father, I pray that you will bless this ministry for every single person that is in this congregation today, regardless of age. I pray today that you will fill them, that they will leave here today and say, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus and I live for Jesus, and that they would experience this loving filling. Thank you for this time together that we have. We give you all the praise and the glory that you deserve. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. And folks, that concludes our service today. And with that, I say this, go be safe, do great things, love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and celebrate what's going to be happening over the course of the next 3 days in this church. It is going to be a wild time at Covell Community Church with regards to our Vacation Bible School. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.